right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Susnow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. This is Mark Susnow. You're tuning in to another show called the Inspire Possibility Show, in which I have conversations with people I consider cutting-edge thought leaders, people who I find have something to say that can give us some guidance, some insight on issues that concerns we have that affect us every day. And I think one of the biggest concerns for most people is relationships. And it always seems that in February, when it's Valentine's Day, it kind of brings it to the focus. People think about how are they going to please their beloved, or what can they do for them to show their appreciation, or if they're not in a relationship, then they think about, wow, what's going on? I'm not in a relationship, and what's wrong with me, or I'm a loser, or whatever, or they've come to terms with it. And again, I always come back to the ultimate relationship is with yourself, to really learn to love yourself. And until you do that, you really can't love another person. But it's always interesting to have the different relationship experts on this show, and this month we have several of them. And so I invited somebody who's been on the show before, and she used to be the love doctor, and I think now she's a love therapist. Her name is Marion Baker. She's a therapist. She had her own issues with internet dating, and finally she enrolled in a counseling program and kind of found the realization that what she wants to do is to teach her wisdom to other people, how people can have more successful and lasting and fulfilling relationships. And she's written a few books, and she'll tell you about them. But what I'm curious about, Marion, welcome to the show, is are sometimes people their own worst enemies in this whole stuff? What do you think?
Yeah, thanks, Mark. It's great to be here again, talking about my favorite subject, by the way. But I'm on board with you about, people needing to learn how to love themselves before they can actually love another person, and that's the rub. And what I get is a lot of people coming to me with their list. You know how everybody has a list of all the qualities they want and da 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 da, and yet they've been attracting sort of a similar person over and over and over, but they don't want that person. They want the person with the list. But what they don't realize is all the stuff that they bring with them into the relationship actually dictates who they're attracted to. So until they can get their own house in order, they're not going to be attracted to the guy with the list. Nor is the guy with the list on the list going to be attracted to them, right?
And I think what you mean by the list is that list of all the qualities you want in that person.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, they have to be like this and like that, and
Right. So what you're saying, what I'm a little unclear about is are you saying that, is there something wrong with having a list or what?
Well, I actually encourage people to let go of that list, and instead, because they're looking for this ideal, right? And I've never actually had that ideal realized. Like, you can make your list of the ideal side, like, but say for example, somebody's easygoing, and you want somebody easygoing. Well, that's great, and I mean, it's nice to be around somebody easygoing, but there's also limitations to easygoingness, and so somebody easygoing doesn't necessarily stand up to things when they could or should. And so there's going to be moments when easygoing is great, and there's going to be moments when easygoing ain't so great. So, you know, you've got to deal with the picture of a whole human being instead of the ideal of just somebody who's going to be perfect, you know, respond perfectly in every mm-hmm. situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, wouldn't it really come? I mean, I guess what I want to clarify, are you saying there's something wrong with having a list, or somebody should be more conscious about what is in their list?
My list is more like, how do I feel when I'm with this person?
Mm-hmm.
Do I enjoy their company? Do I feel heard? Am I interested in what they have to say? Do I want to ask more about them? Like, am I curious about them, and mm-hmm. are they curious about me? And, you know, ultimately, do I feel like this person has my back?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to they, you know, to me, that's a much more effective list than are they easygoing?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a little more clear?
Kind of, yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is really the list is a criterion or whatever. Is that, I mean, some people will write down a list, but what I'm hearing you say is that it's not about whether you have a list or not, but it's about what's in the list. What are the qualities you're looking for in another person? And I agree with you. I think it's really important to, you know, to have that you just you like being with, you like the person, you like being with them, and you feel better afterwards after being with
right.
them.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Instead of worse.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. That's a huge criteria.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing about the list is like if you want to have somebody that's all those things. Have you looked in a mirror lately? And, like, if you want somebody that's good at dancing, you know, when was the last
right.
time you went dancing?
Right.
So, yeah, better to go out and fulfill your own life.
You mean we have
life.
To look in the mirror is what you're saying?
Yeah. Don't you
have to look
that.
In the mirror, huh? Oh, what do I see? Oh, my God. Who is that person?
Exactly.
Who are you? Do I know you? Yeah. Do I know you? I always mm-hmm. have a thing about looking in the mirror. Is that I actually saw my website, Getting to Know Mark, I call it, and it's really about it's a little clip, video clip. If I remember when I was going through a hard time in relationships, when my marriage kind of dissolved, is that a friend of mine said, look in the mirror and look at yourself and say, I got you, babe. And so
yeah.
I that's what I did. And all of a sudden, I mean, I was like crying before. I did this. I looked in the mirror and I burst out laughing. And every time I tell this story, and is that when I tell it, and especially in the video when it happened, everybody just started cracking up. And I think to look in that mirror and go, I got you, babe. And mm-hmm. and so that's my experience with looking in the mirror, because sometimes when you don't say that, you look in the mirror and you go, oh, my God, I'm getting older. You know, and
yeah,
and,
who is the old person?
Who is that guy? Well, what about this guy over here 25 years ago? What about that guy? I mean, I'm not that guy
anymore.
Where did he go? Yeah. So tell us about your books. The Green Line was your first book, and I know you wrote that when you were on my show the first time. The Green Line, what is it,
the,
plastic or
The lime green plastic covered couch, yeah. And the
wow.
subtitle is Insight for Women Who Struggle to Find Lasting Love.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
then you wrote a recent book, right? It's just an e-book right now, and
mm-hmm.
it's and that's about how people, the three things that people do to sabotage relationships.
Yeah, that's a little mini e-book that I have on my website. That's free if people want to go to the lime green plastic covered couch.com. They can get this free e-book on the three simple subconscious ways we sabotage our
You
want to,
like, say that that green, I mean, I know you like a lot of adjectives, so can you maybe do a little slower so people can get that? Because I know I still don't have it, and I've, you know, it's
yeah,
not the first time.
I
even have a copy of the book. We're around here, and I've read some of it. So say that again, the green.
So the website is the limegreenplasticcoveredcouch.com, and that's also the name of the book. And you can go to my website and you can get a copy of my free ebook, which is three simple subconscious ways we sabotage our love lives.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so so what I'm hearing you say is that we kind of get in the way of having healthy relationships.
Yeah, like, and we don't even know why. Yeah, and we don't know why. Like, because I mean, it's easy to say look in the mirror, but the reason that we don't see into ourselves is because our subconscious isn't apparent to us. You know, it's apparent to everybody else, but it's not apparent to us. So yeah, we go in and sabotage and don't recognize patterns and things we do that actually push people away or you know, make we run because we're telling ourselves things that sometimes aren't true. Mm-hmm.
So what I'm curious about when I read the information you sent me, this new ebook you have, I'm going, well, what are these things? What are these subconscious things we do to sabotage ourselves? The three, because you specified it. So what would be the first one?
Well, the first one is we blame the other person instead of actually looking in the mirror. And the catch with this, and this is a part that really something that really opened up my eyes, is like say for example we are a thermometer, and we go from 0 to 100. And the amount that our thermometer gets filled from when we grow up, like from our family culture and from the culture around us, how many mentors we had and how many people were caring for us, say our love thermometer gets filled up to 50. And in the other 50 is all our subconscious stuff. And so people like, you know, Jesus or Buddha or Muhammad are going to be 100. They're going to be the ascended masters. They're going to be walking on water. But here's us, you know, humans at 40 or 50. And what we don't realize is that whoever this love thermometer dictates who we're attracted to. We're going to be attracted to somebody who is exactly at the same level as us on our love thermometer. And so when we're looking outside and blaming, oh, this person isn't good enough because this or that, we're actually like we don't understand that. No, we're attracted to this person for a reason, and it's because underneath, it's not about behavior. It's about the degree of both love and pain that we're in that attracts each other.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of a noodle baker, hey?
Mm-hmm. What I don't get is what you're saying. I'm not quite clear what you're saying. Is that where is the, you know, this sub? What is the subconscious? I mean, we have a love meter, and I guess what you're saying is, which is really representative of our ability to love ourselves and to accept love.
Right.
In terms of our worthiness, like a lot of times people will see something, they go, "Well, I can't be with them. They're above me or out of my league." What is the subconscious pattern there?
The subconscious piece is just that we don't realize that we're at the same level, same emotional level as this person.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're going, oh, this person, they're like we blame. It's like, oh, they're doing this or they're doing that, or I don't like the way he blah blah blahs, or I don't like the way she does this. It's like, well, no, actually, they're the behavior might be different than yours, but the subconscious piece is the emotional component is the same as yours. Like the emotional degree that they are able that you are able to love and give love and be loved is the same as theirs. So it just takes the blame off the other person and brings the mirror back to you. It's like, okay, well, if this is the person that my love-o-meter dictates that I'm attracted to, then I want to be attracted to a different kind of person, then I got to look at myself.
So if you, in other words, what I think you're saying is if you see some qualities in somebody that you're involved with and I mean, for example, say you're involved with somebody and you don't feel they're nurturing. Does that mean, from what I'm getting from what you're saying, if we look at ourselves, that implies we're not nurturing ourselves? We're not nurturing anybody. If we pick somebody that's not nurturing, are you saying that that's because we're not nurturing?
No, it's not that specific. Like their behavior might look one way and your behavior might look another way. So it might, like maybe we are nurturing in some way and where they're not, but like our nurturing would come from a place of fear rather than a place of love.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like the nurturing would come from a fear of losing a person rather than just openly nurturing because you love them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that specific, because the behavior can look really, like,
right,
confusingly different.
Right.
And yet,
so what
yet
would be
if
you have these three subconscious things we do to sabotage our relationship? What would be how does it show up? I mean, what, I guess I'm unclear about what your statement is about.
Yeah.
The
okay.
First
so let me go to this. So the first thing is, we blame when we don't recognize that our love meter actually matches and dictates who we're attracted to. The second thing, and this might answer your question, is we don't recognize relationship patterns. And so this goes a little bit more specifically into a pattern, because in a relationship, there's always a person who tends to be emotionally more distant and a person who tends to be emotionally more forward. And the person that's forward always says, okay, well, they're so distant, I just want to get close.
Uh-huh.
And the subconscious part that we don't realize is we are actually bought in to the degree of closeness. Like when we're brought up, we learn to be emotionally close to a certain degree. Like, say, you know, when our parents were nurturing, say you came home and, you know, mom, a bully just beat me up at school and I feel bad. And your mom says, oh, just go suck it up and go to your room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to learn to be very emotionally close to people. Whereas if you go home and your mom's like, oh, sweetheart, you know, let's put some salve on those knees and fix you up. You know, then
right,
then you feel nurtured and your love-o-meter is going to grow there. Where and but if you didn't get that nurturing as a child, you are comfortable with a certain emotional distance from the other person. And so if a person is in relationship with a distancer, they're always looking at the behavior going, that person, they always just keep running away and I just want to be close. It's like, no, if you didn't have a buy-in to the
right,
the level of emotional distance that you're at, you wouldn't be
right
there. You wouldn't find that person attractive.
So let me see if I get this, okay? What you're saying is, if you had a growing up, if you're, let's say in terms of your parents, let's say your mother wasn't into very warm. What you're
mm-hmm
saying is that you're comfortable with being another person that isn't warm or nurturing. If your mother is not nurturing, or your parent, your dad, or whatever, the likelihood is you're going to match that. I mean, it's interesting. I got involved with a training called the Hoffman Process many years ago. And Bob Hoffman has what he calls the negative love syndrome, meaning that we, to win the love of our parents, we adopt their negative patterns. So if you have somebody that is, let's say, abusive, you know, if you have an abusive parent, the likelihood is, at a subconscious level, we're going to pick somebody like them that's abusive, and a lot of times we notice, wow, I married my father, married my mother. I mean, that's kind of, you hear a lot of that, and I think that's what you're saying. Am I right, or am I off?
Yeah, that's certainly along the right line for sure. I mean, the other thing about that is, like, even though it brings us our negative patterns, it also brings us our positive traits. Like, there's, like, if we had to survive a tough childhood, we become a survival, you know, a pretty good survivor in the world.
Right.
So then there's positive to the negative as well. But back to your sort of original question, yes, that's pretty close to what I'm saying, is that again, it's, the behavior isn't always as specific as that, but with a distancer, you'll often find an over-nurturer still trying to get the love, and they're still,
right,
you know, they're looking for the good ending to the battled story.
You know what I find interesting, and I know this book actually is, you said it's for women, and it sounds like our conversation so far could be for, you know, male and females. Is there any distinction you have between, let's say, relationship things women do that are ineffective and that men do that are ineffective or that are destructive?
Yeah.
How do you see the difference between men and female, men and women? I think I told you before, John Gray was on the show, and then he wrote that men are for Mars, women are Venus, and that was his whole thing about the difference between men and women. What's your take on that? How do you see the difference between men and women? What is your What's your take on that?
Yeah, the biggest difference I see is that let me put it this way, women will sacrifice me for the we, whereas men will sacrifice we for the me. Does that make sense? Men tend to want their freedom.
Okay.
Men tend to want their freedom, and so they'll tend to sacrifice the relationship first. And women tend to want the family environment, and so they'll sacrifice themselves first.
Uh-huh. So that's what you were saying, the basic, is that men, they want their like cake and eat it too? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Not necessarily that, but they tend to, and again, this is general, generalities. This isn't every man and every woman, but that's just a generality that I've noticed, is that, yeah, men will, if push comes to shove, they'll look after themselves first rather than the relationship, whereas women will look after the relationship rather than themselves.
Okay. Let me just interject right here. I want to remind our listeners, you're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. Marion Baker is my guest. She's an author and the love therapist, and been doing this for a long time. And we're in the middle of our conversation about relationships and why some of them don't work, and the difference between men and women. And so, and again, people, go to your website to get a hold of you, or your book. Would you want to repeat that again? The lime green plastic covered couch.
The lime green
the right?
Plastic covered couch. Yeah.
I got it right. All right.
You did.
it's only my fifth or sixth time, because I've done this before on the air with you, and I never could get lime green plastic covered couch. .com.
Very good. You get an A+.
.com. So, what do you think, so that's an interplay between men and women, you're kind of saying, generalizing, but of course, mm-hmm. And then again, what happens now is what John was, why he wrote his new book, Beyond Mars and Venus, that the roles are getting kind of muffled, they're kind of, confusing with men and women, with more women in the workplace, more men staying home, and more gay couples coming out, and it's more accepted, and so some of these traditional ways of being for men and women have shifted. And what's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing more and more often that men are feeling demasculinated, and I don't know if that's just a West Coast thing or if on the East Coast it's different. But, yeah, I'm hearing, because women do have to go to work and, improve themselves in the workplace, mm-hmm. and they're taking on different roles. And so women and men are trying to redefine their place, and they're not always quite sure where that lives. And, for the men, it's easy to blame the women. Hey, you're demasculating me, but it's still their job to step up and say, hey, wait a minute here.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what would you say if you're, because we're kind of getting near the end of the show, but what advice in terms of, because I think the idea is for you is that you're an expert in having, did you say lasting relationships?
Mm-hmm.
That was how you talk about yourself, right? You're an expert in what people can do to have more lasting relationships what would you say would be the one thing a woman can do to have a more lasting relationship?
A woman could do?
Yes. What would be the key for a woman to, if she wants to have a lasting relationship? What would you say if you were, somebody was talking to you and they said to you, I haven't really had a relationship that's lasted more than 6 months. How would you advise her? What would you say to her?
I'd say throw away the list and go get some counseling.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, if there's women that, they're out there and they're out dating, or they're out in the field and not finding what they want, then there's something about their, either who they're attracted to, or there's something about their expectation or their picker that's a bit off. And so,
right.
like you said, like you said, you've got to go and discover something about yourself first before you can actually change that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if people are having, and I mean, you know, I don't think love comes that often. Like, you know, I've only been in love a couple of times in my life, and I didn't get married until I was 48. So I don't think the right person comes along every other day. So I do that. I do think that it is a bit of a waiting game, and you have to be patient with yourself. And at the same time, if you're in pain a lot because of the relationships, then there's something that you're thinking about yourself that's not quite right. And the best way to get over it is get some help. And I shouldn't say get over it, but have a new perspective is to get some help.
Because how can you help yourself
when all this stuff is subconscious?
Right. Well, that was the whole thing that when I did the Hoffman process that they talked about a lot, was how a lot of these patterns that we have that influence us now are unconscious. And part of the process and loss of therapy is to discover what these unconscious patterns are, because once they're conscious, then we can do something about them. And so what about for men? What about, would you say the same thing to a guy? It's like, he says, hey, I really want to get married, but this happened to me. I wanted to get married and have a family, and I kept meeting women for one reason or the other that couldn't have kids or didn't want to. And so I looked at that inside, and I go, well, what's going on with me? And I there was part of me that kind of said, well, maybe I wasn't ready to have kids at the time. And then a few years later, you know, I met my wife at the time, and we had, you know, three children, and who are all adults now. But I, you know, I had to look at, what about me? Why was I attracted to somebody that really wasn't nurturing? And so I did look at that. And then the person I met was the opposite. She was very nurturing. She was a midwife and a nurse, and it was great.
Perfect.
But I think we need to keep asking ourselves that question if we're not meeting the right person. And that's what you're saying, is throw away the list, and not entirely, but to kind of change the list. And I always like to say, how do I want to feel when I'm with this person? Not what do they look like. Obviously, there has to be some kind of chemistry there. But more important is, you know, not who are they, but how do I feel when I'm with them?
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
What inspires you right now? Because since our show is the Inspire Possibility Show, I like to always ask my guests, what inspires you right now?
Well, I'm actually about to, I mean, it's not coming quite yet, but I'm about to launch a new platform for my business. So I'm starting to take my business from one-to-one to one-to-many. So I'm going to be building an internet business over the next little bit. And so that I can help more women from around the world, because there's so many women that, you know, are saying, help me, and I can't do it from, you know, my little place in Vancouver. I've got to build it bigger and wider. So. Yeah,
And then the ebook that you were talking about, that's going to be part of it?
Well, that's a free gift for people that go to my website. So, yeah, they're welcome to go there if that interests them. And then anything else that's coming up, they'll get the information if they sign up for the ebook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what are your plans to go more globally, more internet-based? Do you have something in mind that you're going to do, or coming up and then soon? Or
I'm just at the very, very beginning stages, but I'm going to do, a lengthy program. Like, I'm going to do a free introduction so they can see what I'm about. And then do a weekend, an inexpensive weekend on the internet, so that people can sort of kind of feel me out and get the flavor. And then I want to do a one-year program, because that's what I found really helped for me, is like having a weekend where you get some insight is great, but it's the consistency of having ongoing coaching and ongoing insight and just staying in the game that really makes a big difference. So that's what I want to do.
Well, I want to thank you for being my guest on the Inspire Possibility Show, and thank you for your commitment to wanting people to have more fulfilling relationships. And I know that you practice what you preach, and you're an example of that. You're very open about your process, and I think it's an inspiration for your work. Is that you're living your talk. So again, thank you for being on the Inspire Possibility Show, and to all your listeners, thanks for joining in and listening to my conversation with Marion Baker, the love therapist. And until next time, journey on.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark, or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.